on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Derry City and Strabane District Councillor Gary Donnelly has been released without charge as the investigation into the murder of Dennis Donaldson continues. The full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. Two people have had a lucky escape after a small fire started at their home in Letterkenny during the early hours of this morning. And the Taoiseach has paid tribute to outgoing Northern Ireland Secretary James Brookenshire. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, tributes are being paid to former TD and Minister of State Paddy Hart, who has died aged 86. Mr Hart served as Fine Gael TD for Donegal North East from 1961 until 1997 and as Minister of State at the Department of Posts and Telegraphs in the 1980s. He was named an Honorary OBE in 2006 and Donegal Person of the Year in 1998. Government Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh says Paddy Hart's legacy in Donegal is a rich one.
His vision and his vision for Northern Ireland and the North West put him ahead of his time in terms of his legacy, and I certainly would like to acknowledge the work that he did both at a local level and also his work at a peace process level.
As you say, Paddy was working very much on peace, and he was reaching out to loyalists at a time when perhaps not very many people were from the Republic.
Yeah, there were very dark days. I suppose it's difficult for a lot of people, including myself, to imagine what it was like to be a public representative at a time when you probably went to bed at night and you were wondering about the safety of your own family. So that was indeed a very, very dark time. And he took political risk. He took political risks by reaching out. But by doing that, he has set a whole new pathway for this generation. And I think that contribution was immense. It took courage to do that as well. And while our paths didn't cross politically, because Paddy left politics in 97, I came in 1999, and even though we didn't work at the same time in our political journeys, his legacy kept coming up, and the work that he was involved in certainly paved the way for a lot of work that I've been involved in the last number of years. So once again, I'd just like to acknowledge his role in terms of bringing peace, working for peace, working hard for his community, and working hard for County Donegal as well.
Derry City and Strabane District Councillor Gary Donnelly has been released without charge as the investigation into the murder of Dennis Donaldson continues. A second man, his 30s, remains in Garda custody. Councillor Donnelly was arrested while attending a commemoration in Donegal yesterday and taken to Letterkenny Garda Station for questioning. Former Sinn Féin member Dennis Donaldson was shot dead in April 2006 in a remote cottage outside Glenties, 4 months after he confessed to working as a British agent for police and the MI5 for 20 years. Councillor Micheál Colmagill O'Aspa claims it was a staged arrest yesterday.
Well, yesterday we had a big commemoration in West Donegal, and I believe that it was a staged arrest by both the guards and the state to undermine the work that has been done by independent councillors here in the Northwest, when our full focus is on dealing with the reality on the ground, which is unemployment, the lack of infrastructure, poverty and huge immigration. And the state had made a clear decision that they want to try to deter us to continue our work. But it's good news now that Gary has been released, obviously without any charge. And it just shows you, when you politically challenge the state, that this is what their response is.
Sinn Féin West Tyrone MP Barry McIlduff has been suspended from party activity for 3 months. It's after a storm of controversy over a tweet which families of the Kingsmill massacre found offensive. In a statement this afternoon, Mr McIlduff apologised unreservedly for his actions. He acknowledged it was ill-judged and caused deep and unnecessary hurt and pain to the Kingsmill families. In the video posted on Twitter on the anniversary of the atrocity, the MP is seen balancing a Kingsmill loaf on his head. The Disclosures Tribunal has heard tapes from the O'Higgins Commission in which counsel for the then Garda Commissioner admits being instructed by her to question the motivation and credibility of Maurice McCabe. A statement from the former Taoiseach has also been read out, in which she denies knowing about that legal strategy. Juliet Gash reports.
This module of the tribunal is examining whether the Garda Commissioner relied on a false allegation of abuse against Garda whistleblower Maurice McCabe to discredit him at the O'Higgins Commission in 2015. Tapes from the Commission were played at the tribunal, in which counsel for Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan says he was instructed to question the motivation and credibility of Sergeant McCabe right the way through. A separate allegation he was questioning his integrity was taken back. Counsel for the tribunal said there did not appear to be a plan to put to Sergeant McCabe at the O'Higgins Commission that he had once abused a child, an allegation that had been declared by the DPP as false. But Kathleen Leader told the tribunal that Commissioner O'Sullivan does appear to have authorised the questioning of McCabe's motive and was not the only person alerting the Department of Justice as to what was happening at the Commission. The statement of former Justice Minister Frances Fitzgerald was read out this afternoon, in which she denied having knowledge of the strategy to discredit Maurice McCabe. The tribunal has been adjourned until Friday due to the vast amount of documents furnished to it in recent weeks. Juliet Gash at the Disclosures Tribunal.
The full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. Management at the hospital apologised to patients and their families for delays as the emergency department remains extremely busy today. According to the latest trolley and ward watch figures, there were 40 people awaiting admission at the hospital this morning. Management at the hospital would encourage the public to attend the emergency department only in the case of real emergencies and to contact their GP or GP out-of-hours service in the first instance, as they say they are also experiencing an increase in the number of patients presenting with flu symptoms. Cathaoirleo of Donegal County Council, Councillor Jerry McMonagall, says as the crisis continues, reports are emerging from the hospital of patients having to share cubicles and sleeping on the floor.
It is unbelievable. Once again, we have high numbers awaiting beds at the hospital, awaiting admission. And on this case, I received a text there this morning from someone who's at the hospital and saying that patients were actually sharing cubicles. And in one instance, there actually was a patient on the floor being propped up by pillows, hooked up to a drip. And that, you know, that, I mean, that's totally unacceptable in any country. But, I mean, to be here in a country that's supposed to be so well off and supposed to be such a, you know, and I my heart goes out to the staff down there and indeed to the patients who are finding themselves this morning awaiting beds. But if you're going in to get healthcare and waiting admission to the hospital and you're sitting on pillows and hooked up to a drip, it's a sad and indictment of the health service we currently have.
Meanwhile, all non-urgent elective procedures are to be curtailed in a bid to tackle hospital overcrowding. The Emergency Department Task Force met this afternoon to discuss the ongoing crisis and to set out measures to deal with it. There were 555 patients waiting on trolleys around the country today, compared to last Wednesday's record high of 677. General Secretary of the INMO, Phil Nihay, says there is concern we haven't seen the worst of it yet.
It's been confirmed that the flu spike is probably not with us yet, and we are concerned about the availability of acute beds. The HSE have confirmed that they've notified hospital groups that they should curtail all non-urgent elective work, particularly as we're going to be facing a bigger crisis in the area of the flu, particularly over this week and next week.
The HSE is being urged to ensure that repair works on the health centre in Quigley's Point are carried out as soon as possible. The centre was damaged in the flash flooding experienced across the Inishowen Peninsula last August. Deputy Charlie McConlogue says the damage caused to the health centre last summer has resulted in the cancellation of the satellite GP service. This, he says, is affecting local residents and also putting increased pressure on GP services in Moville. Deputy McConlogue is also pressing the HSE to urgently address the staff shortages, which have led to 5 bed closures up on Cranna Nursing Unit. He says it is crucial these issues are addressed without delay.
The HSE have committed to come back with a response in terms of how they can progress matters and try and ensure that the pressure that's on staff there, and indeed the fact that patients who are waiting to come back to Buncrana from Letterkenny cannot do so, that those issues are addressed urgently. It's also crucial that that staff are put in place to ensure that there isn't pressure or a question mark over the day unit being able to operate. As things stand, we are now waiting for HSE to come back and respond.
Another issue which is very much live in the Inishowen area at the moment is the lack of a satellite GP service in Quigley's Point. That's inconveniencing local people, also putting more pressure on the GP service now in Moville, which has got to take in people from a wider catchment. Time really, you're saying, for that to be fully addressed.
Absolutely. There's a very much used health centre in Quigley's Point which is used as a satellite GP service. It was flooded in August and it's still not back up and running. It's an issue I've been raising with the HSE, and they have confirmed that they intend to have it fully reopened by April. I do believe that this is something which should have been back up and running before now, but I'm seeking to keep the pressure on to ensure that it is opened as quickly as possible and that the works that are necessary to bring it up to spec again are completed. It's of great value to the local Quigley's Point community, and I know that they are well served there when it is fully operational by the GP service as well.
In response to calls for staff shortages at the Buncrana Nursing Unit to be addressed, the HSE has issued a statement. They say the nursing unit usually accommodates 30 residents but is currently accommodating up to 25 as the unit is presently experiencing a number of vacant staffing positions. The HSE wish to confirm that the vacant posts are actively being recruited through the National Recruitment Service. Meanwhile, there are calls for the Health Minister and the HSE to also urgently step up efforts to recruit a number of vacancies at Letterkenny University's Hospital's Radiology Department. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says he has received confirmation from management at the hospital that the department currently has 5.1 whole-time equivalent posts filled on a permanent basis, despite the sanctioning of 7 full-time consultant radiologists to staff the unit. Deputy Doherty says the lack of staff at the department is having a knock-on effect, resulting in patients experiencing delays. He says the length of time it is taking to recruit staff is a major concern. He says clearly the approach being adopted by the HSE to fill vacancies and attract talent is simply not working.
Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Gear up for 2018 with a massive New Year sale now on in store and at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15, time now for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with Gaelic Games. Donegal's postponed match with Monaghan has been refixed for Sunday the 14th back at Clonus. The original game was called off yesterday due to parts of the pitch at St. Eunuch's Park being frozen. The decision was made 7 minutes after the original 2 p.m. throw-in time. Before that game against Malachy O'Rourke's men, Donegal will meet Rory Gallagher's Fermanagh this coming Wednesday evening in Ballybuffet. Derry's postponed tie with Armagh will also be played on Sunday the 14th at the Athletic Grounds. Demi McAuley's side will meet Down before that on Wednesday night at Celtic Park. The semi-finals have now been moved to Wednesday the 17th, with the final still on the original date of Saturday the 20th. There has been calls over the last 24 hours to either restructure the competition or scrap it altogether. Speaking on this morning's 9 till noon show, former Donegal player Eamon McGee feels playing the McKenna Cup has become pointless and is unfair to teams and supporters.
There's a fixture issue in the GA, and this is what's is my issue with the McKenna Cup. There's pressure on the plate, and Ulster GA would have been under a bit of pressure, you know, make the call as late as possible, and they wouldn't have took a lot of the travel support and consideration, in my opinion. I don't think that's on, you know, for families and for people travelling to Monaghan. I think that shows a total lack of respect. To be playing games in January, you know, in this kind of weather and these kind of pitches, is pointless, in my opinion.
And do you think we're moving towards the scrapping of the McKenna Cup, or at least in its current form?
I think the pressure is going to keep building and keep building, and you know that there's a big clash coming down the road. Maybe it might not be this year, maybe 3 years down the line, but there's a clash coming down the road between club players and the inter-county game, and there's a level of dissatisfaction there, and I think something has to make way, and McKenna Cup's going to be one of the things that make way for it, you know. And for someone to come from Buncrana to go all the way to Clonus or all the way to Monaghan to get word at last minute, it's just not good enough. Like, it's just total disrespect to them.
The Tyrone GAA family is mourning today following the death of Pomeroy Plunkett's Christopher Colquhoun. The 34-year-old father of two passed away in hospital after a short illness. He was a former Tyrone senior panellist. Christopher had recently been appointed vice principal of St Patrick's Primary School on Donoughmore. To Cross Channel Soccer, Philip Coutinho said he'd like to thank Liverpool for understanding it was his dream to play for Barcelona. He completed his move from Anfield for a fee believed to be €160 million after signing a 5.5-year contract. Coutinho passed his medical this morning, but he'll be out for almost 3 weeks with the same thigh injury that kept him out of the last number of Liverpool games. It's been confirmed he'll wear the number 14 jersey at the Camp Nou. The Brazilian hopes Liverpool fans can understand why he left Anfield.
I gave everything I could. Unfortunately, we couldn't win, but I lived 5 years. My family was very happy in there, so I just would like to thank you then and wish all the best for them.
It's reported Arsenal and Manchester City have made contact with West Brom about the potential signing of Johnny Evans. The Northern Ireland international could go for £25 million. Video assistant referees will be used for the first time in an English competitive football game tonight. Brighton's home FA Cup third round tie with Crystal Palace will trial the technology. Match official Andre Marner can review goals, penalties, straight red cards and cases of mistaken identity. Kick off at the Amex Arena 7:45, by which stage the draw for the fourth round should be made. Dundalk have bolstered their midfield options ahead of the new season. The Lily Whites have signed Lithuanian international Karolis Shevdokas. His signing follows the news that Georgia Penton will be back at the club, having spent last term on loan at Bohemians. Former Donegal and Monaghan senior footballer Martin Carney will perform the formal launch of the 42nd Donegal Sports Star Awards in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny tomorrow evening, Tuesday. The Ballyshannon native was the Gaelic footballer category winner in 1977 and only the second year of the Sports Star Awards. The launch takes place tomorrow evening starting at 6 o'clock. In rugby, Tommy Bowe could be out of action for up to 8 weeks. He suffered a shoulder injury in Ulster's Pro 14 hammering by Leinster over the weekend. The 33-year-old's injury is likely to put paid to any slim hopes he had of being included in Ireland's Six Nations squad. On the horse racing front, Thistle Crack has been ruled out of this year's Cheltenham Gold Cup. Trainer Colin Tizard has confirmed the 2016 King George winner will miss the remainder of the national hunt season due to a small stress fracture. While in tennis, Andy Murray's had surgery in Australia to try and solve a long-term hip problem. The former world number one says he's very optimistic about how it went and hopes to be back playing again before the grass court season this summer. Murray hasn't played competitively since Wimbledon in July of last year. That's it from the sports desk for today. Michaela, we'll be back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 news.
Thanks, Oisin. Two people have had a lucky escape after a small fire started at their home in Letterkenny during the early hours of this morning. Letterkenny Fire Service were alerted to the blaze in the Rosemount area shortly after 2:15. Upon arrival at the scene, the fire service found one of the occupants outside the premises while a second was trapped on the first floor. Glenn Hamilton is Senior Assistant Chief Fire Officer. He says the fire was detected at a very early stage thanks to the smoke alarm.
We would describe the fire as being a small fire, and you know, the reason for us arriving there and it being a small fire is because the fire was detected at a very early stage, and you know, it wasn't allowed to grow to a stage where it was going to be maybe life-threatening for the occupants on the first floor, although their escape route downward and out the door was obscured by smoke. The fire was relatively small, and that was mainly due to them having smoke detectors, which activated quite promptly.
The Taoiseach just paid tribute to outgoing Northern Ireland Secretary James Brookenshire, who has resigned for health reasons. Mr. Brookenshire is to undergo surgery to remove a lesion on his lung. Simon Coveney has praised his quiet, understated but hugely valuable work in trying to make power sharing work in Belfast. Mr. Brookenshire is still optimistic about the future of Stormont.
The parties in Northern Ireland have got over bigger issues in the past, and I think that there's a duty and a responsibility on them now to get back into an executive, back into devolved government, and get on with serving the people of Northern Ireland.
And for weather now, breezy and becoming mostly cloudy tonight with a few patches of light rain or drizzle developing. It will be coldest earlier in the night with lowest temperatures of 1 to 2 degrees with frost forming in places. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, tributes are being paid to former TD and Minister of State Paddy Hart, who has died aged 86. Mr Hart served as Fine Gael TD for Donegal North East from 1961 until 1997 and as Minister of State at the Department of Posts and Telegraphs in the 1980s. Derry City and Strabane District Councillor Gary Donnelly has been released without charge as the investigation into the murder of Dennis Donaldson continues. A second man, his 30s, remains in Garda custody. Sinn Féin West Tyrone MP Barry McIlduff has been suspended from party activity for 3 months. It's after a storm of controversy over a tweet which families of the Kingsmill massacre found offensive. And the full capacity protocol has been implemented at Letterkenny University Hospital. Management at the hospital apologised to patients and their families for delays as the emergency department remains extremely busy today. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, January the 8th. The peaceful death has taken place of Barney Doherty, Glencoe, Letterkenny. Removal tomorrow from the Eternal Light Chapel Rest at 10 a.m. going to his daughter Donna Harper's residence at Black's Lane, Remelton. Requiem Mass in St. Columba's Church Termin at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred in Lifford Hospital of former TD Paddy Hart, OBE, the Diamond Rafoe. His remains will be reposing at his late residence from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 20 past 11, going to St. Junan's Church Rafoe for 12 noon Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Lifford Hospital Patients Comfort Fund and the Renal Unit Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors, Oakfield Rafoe. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The sudden death has taken place of Joey Crossan, Mount Marion, Milford. His remains will repose at his brother Nicholas Crossan's residence at 43 Glenwood Park, Letterkenny, from 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in Milford Cemetery. House private, please. Family and relatives welcome. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Anna O'Brien, 105 Ray Mockey, Manor Cunningham. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there Wednesday morning at 10:15, going to St. Columba's Church, Drumahill, for 11 o'clock funeral mass, with interment afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to Surgical 1, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred at Letterkenny University Hospital of Willie Breslin, Mina Ward, Drumfries, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at St. Colmkill Oratory, Cleaclamani, at the request of the deceased. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:15, going to St. Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to St. Colmkill Village, Clamani, care of any family member or McFeely funeral directors. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of Niall Wiseman, Letcher Road, Kilmacrenan, formerly of Cork City. Remains are reposing at the Baptist Church, Port Road, Letterkenny, with viewing today until 10 o'clock. Funeral service at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon with burial afterwards in Gortley Graveyard. The sudden death has occurred of Cathy McGrory Toonban Fanid. Remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from her late residence on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Fanavolte at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary in the family home each night at 9 o'clock. And the death has taken place at Beech Hill Manor nursing homeless Fan and Fawn of Paddy Loftus, late of the Red Row, Culdaff. His remains are reposing at the home of his nephew Hugh and Pauline Loftus, Gortnacool, Carndonagh. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Bulkin, Culdaff, followed by burial in the adjoining burial ground. Family time please from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. Family flowers only, or if desired, donation in lieu to Beech Hill Manor Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, Care for Liam Collins Funeral Director, or any family member.